Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ah, the long-forgotten depths of WCW's tag team division. Do you remember any of these duos? The Steiner Brothers, Harlem Heat, The Outsiders, Doom. There were some truly great tag teams in World Championship Wrestling. Together, they created so many cherished memories and had multiple runs as tag team champions too. Primetime wasn't common though, but that's why these squads are on the list. They dwell in categories like long-forgotten, overlooked, and... who the hell are these guys? I'm Adam Nicholas, this is What Culture Wrestling, and these are 10 WCW tag teams you definitely won't remember. Number 10, Men at Work. They come from a land down on the undercard, sadly. Mark Starr and Chris Kanyon could have been a solid team had they been handed anything other than this Men at Work gimmick. Both were dressed up like construction workers, almost missed their matches due to napping on the job, and didn't find much success between 1995 and 1996. Now, Kanyon and Starr played the gig for laughs. They probably had no choice, truth be told. During matches, for example, Chris would inadvertently cost his team by whipping out a tape measure and trying to do some work. And you can just imagine that somewhere, 90s Vince McMahon would have been laughing his ass off. Of course, Kanyon eventually found some success on his own and starred in WWE's Invasion Angle. He and Starr did their best with Men at Work, but it was never going to work out. Who wrote this? Number 9, the Cole Twins. Perhaps the biggest claim to fame either Keith or Kent Cole had during their stay in WCW is that the former faced the debuting Triple H in 1994. Beyond that, the Cole Twins were typically deployed when the company needed filler on shows like Main Event, Worldwide, or Saturday Night. The Twins joined WCW in 1992, but they never quite parlayed early promise into anything meaningful, and they rarely came close to challenging for the tag belts. In fact, if anything, Keith and Kent were used to help prepare others for that honour. They were the jobbers when it mattered most. Oddly, Keith and Kent also spent a bit of time working singles matches on WCW house shows. This was likely the promotion's way of padding out live event cards. I mean, why book one tag bout when you can treat fans to a couple of one-on-one attractions? In the most basic of terms, the Twins were utility men. Number 8, the Creatures. Meanwhile, the Creatures were one-off men. Enhancement workers Joey Maggs and Johnny Rich joined forces for this short-lived gimmick at Halloween Havoc 1991. There, they lost to PN News and Big Josh in the second match on the card. That quartet also had the dubious honour of following WCW's wild Chamber of Horror spectacle too. Maggs and Rich are maybe the prototypical examples of WCW's short-term booking. The company needed to fill a slot on the pay-per-view, so they shunted two jobbers together, put them under masks, gave them a Halloween-themed presentation, and then forgot all about them as soon as they put News and Josh over. Mags and Rich did eventually come back together as a team for several matches in 1993 and 1994, but they didn't recycle the Creatures gimmick. On top of that, they might also be one of the only teams in history who debuted on a pay-per-view and then disappeared as if nothing ever happened. Number 7, Bad Attitude. Now, this gold-suited duo could be considered something of a pro-wrestling super team. Bobby Eaton was a member of the Midnight Express in his prime. His Bad Attitude partner in 1994 was Steve Keen, who's best known for being part of the Fabulous Ones and for his run as tobacco-spitting crocodile hunter Skinner in the WWF. Together, however, they didn't have much success. Their whole showy gimmick was a little bit too 80s for WCW in 1994. The product was stuck between old-school NWA presentation and Eric Bischoff's bold new vision for what the promotion could be. And Bad Attitude, well, they just kind of got stuck in the middle somewhere, before Eaton was moved to another tag team with Steven Regal. Number 6, The Wrecking Crew. The Wrecking Crew were brought to WCW in 1993 and instantly set about the task of getting over as squash match machines who'd run right over everyone who got in their path. Dubbed Rage and Fury, both Al Green, Rage, and Mark Laurinaitis, Fury, lasted less than a year in the promotion. Now, in fairness, family lineage meant they had a lot to live up to. Laurinaitis is Road Warrior Animal's brother, which meant he walked in the shadow of tag team greatness. He and Green did their best to convince everyone that they were WCW's next supercharged muscle team, but they ended up drifting shifting around in going nowhere feuds with the Cole Twins and other duos like Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce. Again, much like Bad Attitude, WCW's hopes were presumably high for the Wrecking Crew. Green had been part of the tag scene for years. He was one of the old Master Blasters team with Kevin Nash, and Mark was related to one of the best. But they just couldn't make it work. Number 5, the Colossal Kongs. Now, in fairness here, Harley Race tried. I mean, he really, really tried. But sadly, that's about all one can say when it comes to WCW's decision to debut the Colossal Kongs in 1993. Awesome Kong? No, not that one. And King Kong? No, not that one either. Were hyped up as monsters that could compete with the very best. They even had a short issue with Sting and Ric Flair. The Kongs, however, wouldn't go any higher than that bout they had at Clash of Champions 24. After that, they began to slide down the pecking order and would eventually split up. Before going their separate ways, though, and how about this for a sentence, Awesome Kong jobbed to none other than the Shockmaster at Starrcade 1993, and King Kong was at ringside to see it. And to be honest, it didn't take long before Harley Race was cycled out of the duo's affairs either. Let's just say old Harley wasn't going to pal around with goons like the Kongs when he could appear in main events alongside Vader and Flair. Number 4, Thunder and Lightning. No, before you ask, these two aren't from American Gladiators. They are WCW's Thunder and Lightning. Now, there's not actually much to go on when it comes to Thunder. He left pro wrestling altogether when the team split in 1994, but Lightning went on to play the NWO's fake version of Sting, if indeed you remember that. Jeff Farmer, the aforementioned fake Sting, and Buddy debuted on WCW TV in 1993. They were mainly used as jobbers for the stars, though they did score a few wins here and there on house shows and episodes of Worldwide. The pair also did a ton of work on Saturday Night. Their biggest moment came with a loss to WCW tag heavyweight Harlem Heat at Super Brawl 4. 2 months later, they finished up in WCW by working some tags on the largely ignored Pro Weekly. Number 3, The Power Company. Now, you may have watched a few Power Company matches without even actually knowing it. Dave and Dean Power showed up for 13 matches on WCW television between 1997 and 2000. And during their entire 3-year stay in the company, they never won a match. They were jobbers in every sense of the word, but they were jobbers who had many feuds against the likes of the Steiners and Vicious and Delicious, thank you Buff Bagwell and Scott Norton. Aside from those, the Power Company also lost handicap matches to the Giant on the 17th of May 1997 edition and 23rd of May 1998 edition of Saturday Night. In other words, they were pretty much always going nowhere in WCW. But in fairness, at least Dave and Dean can look back on matches against the Steiner Brothers, Big Show, Lex Luger, Booker T and others during their job-heavy careers in World Championship Wrestling. And to be fair, for anybody who does actually still care, they did experience a bit of success outside of WCW in indie promotions like Puerto Rico's IWA. Number 2, Maximum Overdrive. Now, you'd have to be an absolute Steiner super fan to recall these dudes. Maximum Overdrive consisted of journeyman pros Jeff Warner and Tim Hunt. They were brought into WCW in 1990 and were instantly cast as a serious threat who could match Rick and Scott for power. Warner and Hunt primarily existed to give the Steiners a few hard-fought wins. That was their only real purpose. After the feud concluded at Clash of Champions 12, Maximum Overdrive went into reverse and the team would wheel spin off into different directions. Hunt would disappear completely, but Warner was repackaged as JW Storm. Interestingly enough, Warner had worked some enhancement matches for the WWF before coming to WCW too. He'd go on to work a few more in 1991 and 1992, losing to the future Tatanka and The Undertaker, amongst others, before returning to WCW in 1999 for a Saturday night job to Disco Inferno. And number 1 with a bullet, The Pit Crew. Start your engines and bask in the glory of WCW's very own ripoff of Bob Sparky Plug Holly. It should be said, Chad Fortune has become known as the first wrestler to ever pin Bill Goldberg. Before that, though, he was part of a terrible race car driving gimmick alongside Dale Torborg. Together, they were known as the Pit Crew, and they donned the most garish WCW overalls you're ever likely to see. It's almost impossible to find any records of matches Fortune and Torborg worked together, but they definitely teamed up in late 1997. And this was actually the second overlooked team that Chad had been part of. He and Eric Watts were Techno Team 2000 in the WWF between 1995 and 1996. Torborg would later go on to play the Kiss Demon between 1999 and 2000, so this duo have some serious history when it comes to shit gimmicks. And one more tidbit in case the rest of those weren't enough, Fortune's debut in WCW was a loss to Joey Maggs, otherwise known as one of the creatures from Halloween Havoc 1999. And that, my friends, is one hell of a CV.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.